Yes. Yes, Cymru Radio. Yes. Radio Free Wales.
Yes. Hello, Shumai, and welcome to another edition of Radio Yes Cymru Podcast. We're on YouTube, on the Yes Cymru channel, and on your favourite podcast app. So glad to have you here. Please spread the message and get more people to listen and share us. Two great speakers for the podcast this evening. Carrie Harper, very big in Plaid Cymru, big Plaid councillor in Wrexham, former speaker at the Wrexham rally for Yes Cymru and All Under One Banner. And then Gwern Gwynfil, who of course is the chief exec of Yes Cymru. Welcome both. And we're going to be talking about the forthcoming Yes Cymru conference held here in sunny Aberystwyth on the weekend of the 10th and the 11th of June. I'm looking forward, hope the weather is good, but it'll be a stonking event. So, Gwern, just kick off quickly, what is this? What kind of creature are we talking about this conference?
So it's a bit more than a conference. It's also going to be a summer school, an old-fashioned ysgol haf.
Yeah.
So we're looking to give skills and training to all of our members who come as delegates, as well as doing the usual conference things. Carrie is going to come and be one of the keynote speakers, and we'll have keynote speakers, we'll have panel discussions, but we'll also have training and even a movie screening. Everything is going to be happening.
Yeah, dare I say,
I'm going to disagree with you right at the start of the podcast, okay. Which I probably shouldn't do, but I hope the weather isn't too good.
Yeah.
Because I don't want everybody on the beach. I want them in Madras.
Yeah. So you want it raining during conference time, nice and sunny about 6 o'clock in the evening. And actually, I think ysgol haf or summer school is a better maybe explanation. There aren't any boring stuff you get in conferences with motions and composite number 5B to Mr. Chairman. Can we change that? I don't know. So it's going to be practical stuff, interesting people, a wide diversity of views there. And we want Yes Cymru members to pitch in, you know, and learn a bit more and come back, you know, knowing more people, knowing more stuff, and how we take the independence message forward into the forthcoming 12 months. So, Carrie, you're a keynote speaker. Speech been written already, or you're not going to wing it, are you?
No, I'm not going to wing it.
Good.
I'm really looking forward to it because, I mean, for me, I'm used to political conferences, bit of a different beast, but this is going to be something a little bit different. So looking at the timetable, I think it just looks like a really nice balance there because obviously you need the speeches, you need the ideas, the discussion platform, but you need the informal stuff as well. You know, any campaign, that's so important, isn't it, to have that informal aspect. So it looks really balanced to me. It's a different format from a political conference, but I'm not going to be winging it. I've been my favorite subject, obviously, independence.
but I'm going to ask you, Carrie, because you're coming here from slightly different. I think you're a Yes Cymru member, but obviously you're a Plaid Cymru politician, which is a different set of skills as well to maybe just being a normal member. So looking maybe a bit from the outside, how do you see this event? Obviously, you said it's finally exciting and good, but you know what do you think we as a movement need to learn, and what do you think this event offers people in that sphere?
I think where it could be interesting is it's that focus, isn't it, about what comes next. You know, we're having these conversations. We've been having these conversations for quite a long time. What are the practical steps for getting from A to B? And I think forums like this is the first conference, I think, isn't it, that Yes Cymru had, are vital, I think, in terms of having that discussion with the membership and fathoming out what those staging points are and what the roadmap is. Yeah. And I think that at this point in time is actually quite an urgent conversation that we need to have within the movement as a whole. So I think it could be a really important pivot point for the movement if we get it right and we get people focused on what's coming next.
Yeah, because I think so the independent support is bubbling around a quarter to a third, a bit more, a bit less, in consistent polling now for a couple of years. So I think we're on that if you like, plateau, which is, you know, 5-6 years ago, I would have broken my right arm just to have that kind of number support. So I mean, we're looking to get next or 50% odd. So maybe just if you can run through the events of the ysgol haf, the summer school. So we have an idea, and don't bother so much with the timing and stuff, but so people have a taste. If they haven't signed up, they can sign up and see what's going on.
Yeah, but before I do that, I just want to add to what Carrie said and what you both said, because you both summarised it really well. And that is, we are at that stage, aren't we? in a sense, when I speak to people in the Scottish Yes movement, they're actually quite envious of us because we've made so much progress in such a short time. You know, we've gone from 5% support to around 30% support in 9 years. You know, if we keep going at this rate, we'll hit 60% support in 2032. But honestly, I mean, that's the trend we're on. That's our trend line. So, and there's no reason why we shouldn't keep going at that rate. I mean, no one would have said 9 years ago that we would be here today. But to get there, we need the basic infrastructure. We need to give the activists the skill sets. We need to get people that are in the communities to be able to answer the questions that they're asked. So that when someone is indie curious, they get the full answer, the correct answer, and they can engage with the discussion properly. So that's what this is about. It's about laying that foundation. You know, we're very much at the starting point of that. And I absolutely agree with Carrie. This is a key event for that, because the people who come here will not only get to meet other activists in the movement from a cross-section of political backgrounds as well, which I think is quite important. So there'll be people from diverse backgrounds, diverse ages, all across Wales. So they'll make friends or possibly reluctant acquaintances and allies, but they'll know each other, and it'll be a network, and it'll be a network who will all be looking for the same thing, which is independence, and arguing for and campaigning for independence with the skills to do so. And each year we'll do this, and we'll build on that every year, so that in 5 years, you know, we'll have a spider web across Wales of activists who are well-trained, who can answer questions, who are embedded in each and every community. That's potentially a total game changer.
So we've got a keynote speech by Carrie. I'm looking forward to that. I think you spoke very well in Wrexham, Carrie. And I think your perspective in Wrexham as a councillor as well, doing a lot of grassroots stuff, I think is absolutely pivotal. And I think your message and you as the person, I think, is a very strong selling point for the independence movement. I think that's so I'm very glad to see you speaking. We've also got a speaker then from the SNP. So Richard Thompson, who is in Westminster. That'd be interesting. And I'm sure there'll be lots of interesting conversations after that.
Interestingly, so Richard is coming down. He's the SNP Welsh Affairs spokesperson. I don't know if anybody's read a couple of my recent articles where I've been trying to impress upon people the idea that independence isn't just an argument for Wales or just an argument for Scotland. It's an argument about the coordinated breakup of the entire UK in a positive way, so that everybody comes out of it stronger, including England. Yeah, you know, and part of that is to have that argument and debate on a much broader basis. And from our perspective, part of that is having a much closer relationship with our Scottish peers who are also in favour of independence, and even trying to get some of the thinkers, political thinkers in the English sphere, to start talking about English independence, so that the whole thing becomes, I mean, there's an unusual opportunity for an empire to Dat Kamali to come apart in a sensible, constructive and positive way, which makes it better for all of the constituent parts from day one. That never happens in history. Yeah. But that's an opportunity in the digital age, isn't it?
It's the velvet divorce going towards the Scandinavianization.
The velvet the divorce. I may borrow that. I like it.
So we've got...
The reason I was mentioning that was in the context of Richard Thompson is... So not only is Richard Thompson coming to talk to us, but Mary Black and Stephen Flynn are going to record some messages and send those down to us as well as videos for us to play to the conference. We've also got Shona McAlpine, Robin McAlpine's sister, coming down to have a stand for the ICEC. And the ICEC is the pan-European organization for 7 or 8 of the other nations like Catalonia and Basque Country, Brittany, South Tyrol, who are also looking to have their own independence within the European context. There's a lot of diversity there.
And if you haven't listened to Robin McAlpine's talk on Radio Yes Cymru, a few editions back, very, very interesting. Very long, but very interesting. Worthwhile listening to that. So we've got then the various workshops, Gwaran. I think these are important. And as you say, so we have a workshop on selling independence. So you know, how do we engage people in that discussion? I'm guessing you're thinking about the indicators person, or maybe someone who's against. So there's top tips going on there.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. They've been beta testing it. It's Phil and Wayne. Holy. Most people in the world, well, a lot of people will know who Phil is, because obviously he was...
That's Phil Griffiths from Earth,
who was emceeing in the Swansea March. So a lot of people will have seen him recently. And Phil is quite entertaining at the best of times. So yeah. And Wayne is too. And what they're trying to teach is basically not sales techniques per se, but how to have conversations in ways which allow people to explore ideas without creating conflict.
Yeah, Carrie, you're almost a professional politician. You have these conversations when you're trying to raise the issue of independence. You know, how do you go about it, or what do you use different tact or different ways of talking to different types of people?
I think, yeah, I mean, how do you win people around to the idea of anything? Now, social media gets you so far, but I think being able to have those one-to-one conversations on the door, in my experience, obviously more from a political point of view, it is that one conversation at a time. You know, there's not always a silver bullet, but it's important to be able to have people who are confident enough to go out there and have those conversations face-to-face with a whole broad range of people. And I think for the movement, we do need to be out there, to be out there campaigning and having those discussions. It can't all be online. We've got to break out of that potential echo chamber.
What kind of messages do you think work with people from your experience? My opening gambit would be, I find it very difficult to talk politics to people I don't know. I don't particularly like it, to be honest with you. But I would start with something like, what happens if Scotland goes independent? And I find that that's quite a neutral question. It's quite a, you know, a genuine question. And it sort of breaks down, you know, it doesn't question anyone's identity or where they're politically thinking, your party politically. So I think I find that a quite interesting way to start the conversation. It gets people thinking more along, you know, I don't like blah blah, and, you know, what do they do? And they're asking a specific question, and it's not a yes and no answer, is it? I don't know, Carrie, do you have experience of that? Or
yeah, I mean, I suppose for me, when people raise independence on the door, which they do automatically when they meet somebody from Plaid, you know, one of the questions I will ask them, well, do you think Westminster's working particularly well at the moment? And, you know, has it ever really worked particularly well for people and communities across Wales? And that generally, you know, there's only one answer to that really, isn't there? And then the other point I think that focuses people's minds is, look, you know, if you were talking from a political sense in a Westminster election, for instance, you know, Scotland has a bigger voice in Westminster because guess what? They vote for their national party, and, you know, that carries a lot of weight. So, you know, for us to start voting for our national party in Wales is going to give us a stronger voice, and we need it because guess what? Westminster isn't working. So I think if you put it in those contexts that people can relate to, you can take them on a journey and a conversation. And you won't get everybody from, for instance, from a 1 to a 10. You might only be moving people from a 4 to a 5 or a 5 to a 6. It's an incremental thing. Sometimes it's 3, 4, 5 different conversations or contacts that they have on a particular issue. But it all feeds into the mix. But we have to go out there and have those conversations. People aren't necessarily going to come to us. So I think that's going to be key.
Yeah, and I think we're on Carrie's point about moving from, say, a 4 to a 5, 5 to 6, actually a different way of thinking of things than maybe when I was growing up. It's always for or against, you know, and maybe a question mark. But I think that's actually closer to the reality, isn't it? Because a lot of people haven't really thought about stuff. And then once you start talking, absolutely. Okay.
And you know, I agree absolutely with Carrie. And what's really interesting is it's what the polling shows us, isn't it? So the polling shows us pretty much that over 16-year-olds, 1 in 4 are in favour, 1 in 4 are really, really against. But then you've got 1 in 4 who don't know and are pretty much 5s, I imagine, just sitting in the middle there somewhere. And another 1 in 4 who are really quite soft unionists who just haven't thought about it. It's just what they're always used to, which potentially gives us 75% of the Welsh population in play for us to persuade. You know, that's they're open-minded and they're willing to talk. I use a slightly different approach. My usual question when I first meet someone out of the blue, usually given my new job, is where do you stand on independence then?
Go for the jugular.
I go straight in. And then they usually tell me. And the answer I get more often than not from every age group is, I haven't thought about it. That is the answer I get more often than not. Or I don't do politics. That's another one I get.
Well, yeah.
And then sometimes I just say one other thing or just something else, and they just talk. They just start talking to themselves about independence and thinking about it, which is enough. And if that starts them on the journey, and 18 months from that conversation, or 2 years from that conversation, they've moved from being a 3 to a 7 or an 8, a 0 being a unionist, Artie Davis being a 0. Hmm. So if they get to that 7 or 8 after 2 years, then I'm incredibly happy with that.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. So that's an interesting and absolutely essential session. Gwern, what are the other sessions? We have David Chistan's discussing data, which is essential as well, isn't it, Dan?
He is. And David Tristan, because the data's reached a really interesting pivot point itself, actually. We're more or less exactly where Scotland was just before the Scottish referendum.
I find that incredible. I genuinely find it incredible. I remember going up to Scotland a year before the election. There's a big rally of Carlton Hill. And I thought, it's looking pretty bad. You know, there was a few thousand people there, but I thought, they vote for independence in the year's time. But I'd always, maybe because they had a pro-independence party in government, I'd always felt it stronger than that. But I was surprised by that figure, I have to say.
Yeah, but that's where we are. Well, we're actually further along than that. We're where they were a couple of months before the 2014 referendum, which is amazing. And it was that last sort of piece. So I've actually bumped David Tristan. I haven't told him, I don't think. Maybe I should tell him. I've bumped him up into the big room for a bigger audience from the small room. So he's going to have the big screen as well.
And that was also very good.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, and that's and state data can also be quite difficult for people, but Dan is a very good engaging speaker as well. So I think that's, if you're a bit afraid of numbers, and don't worry, come to session. Dan is very good at explaining stuff and in an interesting way as well.
And what we're going to do at the end of it is, so he's going to talk for maybe 40 minutes, and then we might have a short Q&A, and possibly just everybody can get up and grab a quick tea or coffee. And then we're going to have a short panel, a small panel for another half an hour to discuss the data with the audience afterwards, which will probably be David, myself, and maybe a couple of other people, just to really explore that. I'll try and make sure that someone on the stage isn't a total data nerd like myself and David to give it.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of those about Gwern.
But we'll have some humans up there as well.
To
give expression.
Yeah.
Not just the men in the
boffins in white coats with clipboards. So are the other sessions, any more interactive sections? I'm trying to remember now.
So one of the things I'm looking forward to a lot is the very last panel discussion, which is going to be called Hunaniaeth Newydd I Gymru Newydd, a new identity for a new Wales, to discussing how culture is changing and how culture is evolving and how we can capitalise on that as a new independent nation to generate and create a new cultural paradigm for Wales so that Wales becomes immediately or very quickly, it's quite hard to change culture quickly, but it's such a big thing. It gives you an opportunity to change things quite radically. And that cultural change, to start it and bed it in so that we are an independent nation, which is really ready and suitable for the 21st century. So I'm really looking forward to that panel. And we've got some young people on that panel as well. It's a good mix. It'll be really interesting. And that'll be the same, 5 minutes each for them to talk, and then quite a broad question and answer session afterwards.
And then we've got a couple of sessions. We've got a film by Nick Stradling, who many people may have supported. He went out to Dubai to see the football team in the World Cup. The event wasn't so great for Wiz, but I'm looking forward to see the film. And Nick is also a very engaging speaker and has got interesting stuff. And, he's been spending years trying to find Welsh personalities or Welsh presence on movies from Hollywood and stuff. And I think he has an interesting way of looking at Welsh culture and Welsh popular culture and popular culture through Welsh eyes. So I'm looking forward to see Nick speak.
It's actually an opportunity for people to influence the final cut of the film because it's a pre-screening of the sort of preliminary rushes before the final cut. So
the spirit of 22, was it?
Spirit of 22.
The World Cup last year.
So yeah, people will be able to give their feedback and potentially see changes that they've instigated in the final cut.
And then we got Jim Wingate, who's one of the authors with Jen Llewellyn of the book with a long title, and how to 20 Reasons for Independence. And there's a very interesting talk with Jim here on Radio Yes Cymru a couple of editions back. Have a look at that. That's worth listening to. Jim is a professional storyteller. This is his job. And he goes around Europe storytelling. So I think that session is going to be interesting because he has an engaging and a very, I think, very tactile, pleasant way of discussing ideas with people. So I think that'll be an interesting session.
And then they'll both be there to sign the books afterwards.
Of course,
so you'll buy the book and sign the books. And I think we're going to put them in the main room too on the Sunday morning, so that it's quite a lively Sunday morning session. His subtitle obviously is 20 Ways to Decolonize Your Mind.
Was the editor of my book, The Phenomenon of Welshness, How Many Aircraft Carriers Does Independent Wales Have? That's her revenge, or the sequel to the epic was, is Wales support to be independent, Jen and Jim, that'd be an engaging session. I think a lot of interesting points there about, you know, how we as individuals have to, in a way, decolonize ourselves if we want to decolonize our country. So I think that's an interesting way of looking at stuff.
I've not actually had time to read the book yet, but I will, even because it's really short.
Quite practical. It's almost bullet points. You know, it's meant to be as a handbook. You're meant to be able to scribble on it and put your notes down.
It addresses that issue, doesn't it, John?
Exactly.
Why do we not have the confidence we should have? Why do we lack the ambition, bravery, and confidence?
Isn't it? Yes, and that was amplified this week. And I saw that Delyth Jewell raised the issue in the Senate. You know, why the Labour Welsh Minister declined powers over water. You know, this is absolutely fun. Because essentially, didn't think Wales or she or whoever the institution would be able to handle it. This is absolutely crazy. This is subaltern thinking. This is colonial thinking. You know, you don't think you're good enough to be handle it, especially when you see a mess in Tory land, UK.
Changing. It's changing, isn't it? That's the point.
Yeah, and it's changing. And, you know, when we're losing money because of this, you know, water is a big thing.
Yeah, but it's changing. That's what Yes Cymru is all about. That's what this conference is all about. It's about building confidence and bravery, creating ambition. It's about being innovative.
And I will have Gitta Owen on Radio Yes Cymru podcast in the future talking about the importance of controlling water, not just water to drink and for agriculture, but also hydrogen. So Gitta, I'm going to chase you down. I'm going to pin you down to get that podcast done.
Sean is doing outstandingly well at giving plugs for other podcasts within this.
Yes Cymru podcast. So we've got Dr. John Ball again, Yes Cymru regular here. He was on podcast way back in 2019. I'd forgotten about that, but also beginning of this year, 2023. Carrie, I'm sure you get questions about the economy. And this, I tend to think, is a sort of, I don't answer this question, I don't engage, I don't really think Wales can do it. So I'm going to try and sound intelligent, say, I don't think Wales can afford independence. So I sort of think of it as a sort of, don't hassle me now, I'm, you know, feeding the babies or whatever. But people don't want to sound ignorant, so they say they can't afford. But it's also a genuine question. Do you get this? Or is it just me? Do you get that question?
All the time. I think this
right,
is
okay.
I want to focus on as well. And, you know, you've mentioned we're going to have a session on how do you decolonize your mind, because there's such a legacy, isn't there?
Yes, of course.
Wales, because of our history. And we need to understand that history and the intricacies of it if we're going to understand where we're going. And the impact of our past on our psyche is huge, I think. I come across the same thing on the doorstep. Oh, well, you know, could we afford it? We're too poor, aren't we? There's an assumption before you've answered the question. And I think, you know, for people like us who are, you know, doing this day in and day out, we know a lot of the answers to those questions. We know what's going to afford to be independent, but there's a huge job of work to do to take those messages to people across our communities, across Wales. And we still very much need to do that work. And that has to be done to build that confidence, isn't it? You know, it's a whole part of that journey and that process. I think, interestingly, for us in Wales as well, one thing I did want to quickly put in is the sense of urgency, I think, for us to have this conversation, because anybody who's paying attention to the, you know, political winds at the moment, looking at Scotland, 53%, I think, in the last poll in favour of independence. A few weeks ago, the results in terms of local government in Northern Ireland, you know, unprecedented. Yes. For Sinn Féin, Mary Lou McDonald talking about a border poll. The UK is going to change fundamentally, constitutionally, whether we like it or not, and I would say quite quickly. So I think our conversation in Wales has to accelerate, because we've got to be ready, and we're not at the moment. You know,
and I think, yes, and I think Gwern's point about 2032 actually is important. I remember when the Brexit, day after Brexit, I thought, if Wales isn't independent in 18 years' time, Wales will either be a part of England or we will be independent. There's only two choices, either independence or we will be a part of England. I think the fear I had straight after Brexit, I think many people had, was that we would be, Brexit was the thin end of a wedge of incorporating Wales back into England, basically getting rid of salami slicing devolution. I think that's basically what a lot of Tories wanted. I think that has gone now, essentially, partly, I think, because of Yes Cymru making the argument against it. And I think we are looking 18 years from 2016, and I think we are looking at 2032. I do think that is the kind of date we're looking for, where Wales could be independent. Because, as you carry say, things like the border poll in Ireland, it won't happen next year, no, year after, but it's going to happen. And again, with Scotland, you know, I mean, to some extent, there's an argument in Scotland, you know, if there are such high numbers of younger people, and younger people talking about under 45-year-old, you know, why rush it? Why not just wait a couple of years until the numbers are solid around 60%? So, I mean, that's the kind of date we're looking at, Gwern, and I think you're right. This is why we need the summer school conference to be discussing and arming ourselves with these debates.
I am going to give you another date to think about, too.
So in
2036, it will be 500 years since the Act of Union, the first Act of Union. And, you know, that's an ultimate deadline, isn't it? Wales should most certainly be a fully independent nation by 2036. And the other thing, I keep banging on about ambition, but I am quite serious about ambition. And, you know, from as far as I'm concerned, border polls and Scottish polling aside, I still want to see Wales leave first. Because if Wales get to the point, if Wales trigger a point where either we have an independence favouring majority in the Senedd, or we get a referendum and we win that referendum, then the rest of the UK has to follow, because no one else is sticking around.
Yes.
As soon as Wales votes for independence or decides to be independent, that you know, the fat lady is singing and the end of the opera is coming, and the UK is breaking apart.
And
we should leave.
We leapfrog to the front. I absolutely agree. You know, things can change very, very quickly, and we're on a journey that's moving quickly. We need to accelerate the pace.
And also, I think if that does, I'm not too sure I agree with you, Gwern, but if that does happen, I think it actually makes Reunification Ireland more peacefully. Because I think the Unionists, this is getting off tangent, but the Unionist idea in Northern Ireland is Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, England. They quite like that. But if Wales is even gone, then that's that idea themselves as just...
It circles us back to that opportunity, doesn't it? That opportunity, that idea that the opportunity for the tail end of the British Empire to pull itself apart in an ordered, structured manner, which is better for everybody who currently makes up the constituent parts of the United Kingdom. And that includes England. I mean, I think we have to be very clear about this. You know, England and the whole of the UK is definitely the sick man of Europe, and in many ways, the sick man of the world at the moment. And that's because it's got to this point where all of its structures and systems have been built to be part of a globe-spanning superpower, and it isn't a globe-spanning superpower anymore. So none of its systems are fit for purpose. So everything needs to change so that it can be refreshed and revitalized. And the people who live in the United Kingdom, what is now the United Kingdom, can all be better off as four independent nations, you know, reunified Ireland, Scotland, England, and Wales. But Wales first, out.
So then we're coming then, I think, to the last session, I think, to mention, which is the question time session.
Talk about Neil Anderson, the other economics lecture. So Professor John Ball is giving a particular vision of economic options for an independent Wales. Neil Anderson is providing some balance by coming at it from a different political standpoint and a different political perspective to Professor John Ball. Professor John Ball is quite a classic economist. Neil Anderson would be probably what would be described as a more left-wing economist.
Yes, and I think that's a nice balance, Grant. I'm glad to see that. Because, you know, John, and listen, please, to the podcast, very interesting, answers loads of answers to questions, can Wales afford independent? But it's quite a straight bat. So if you're looking for a question, you know, can Wales, yes, this is the balance of payments, this is how much we spend and blah, blah, great. Exactly the kind of stuff we need. Sometimes there's other things that may be too complicated for a lot of people, especially if you're having a discussion doorstep. So I'm looking forward to have another view of this. I may be looking at, you know, way economics can change society more than, you know, can we just afford it? And that's a very interesting and important discussion, I think. So it's Neil Anderson, yeah?
Yeah, that's Neil Anderson. So yes, can we point to please, I think.
I'm looking forward to that. So then on to the question time, Gwern. There's a big panel here, Gwern.
There is.
So there's some good chatting, and thankfully we have a very good chair. So we have Will Hayward, who writes for the Western Mail, very popular columnist, a very good columnist as well, and an investigative journalist. And of course, he's just published a book or rather last year about independence, looking into that. So I think having Will is a bit of a coup, I think, for Yes Cymru to have him up in Aberystwyth, chairing the question time. So Carrie, I think you're on the panel.
I am, yes.
And then we got the speaker from Labour Party, Tory Party, which is interesting. Gwlad, which we'll discuss, and then it's Lloyd Warburton, who is an implied member for the Senedd Youth Parliament. He's also a local boy, done good here in Aberystwyth, and a lot of people will remember him from keeping the daily stats during the COVID pandemic, where he did loads of excellent work, actually, fair play, and pretty much for free. So the panel, Gwern, I mean, the idea here, I think, if I understand properly, there's going to be a series of question time events organised by Plaid with different parties in different parts of Wales to try and get that balance across the spectrum and across the whole distance, if you like, rather than just in every single panel. So, I mean, some people would maybe surprised that Gwlad is here. I know if you read social media, there's some people unhappy with that. Maybe explain this, what's happening here, Gwern.
So, I mean, people are uncomfortable with Gwlad. Accusations have been thrown, and we've passed those on to Gwlad, and Gwlad have responded to them themselves. But Gwlad have an elected politician within the local area. So they have a county councillor in the Aberystwyth area.
In Ceredigion.
For Ceredigion. So you know, they're a pro-independence party, an elected, registered pro-independence party in Wales. You know, they're not a hate party. They're not a party of hate. So, you know, they're not prescribed as a political organisation. So, you know, they have every right to be on a question time panel, I believe. And they were invited. We did actually invite a Lib Dem, first of all, for that particular seat on this panel. And without being too rude to the Lib Dems, there was only tumbleweed when we looked for Lib Dems, even in Ceredigion, which used to be a Lib Dem stronghold. So so second choice for Gwlad, and they accepted straight away and they came on. And what I would say to those who object to them is, you can't cancel other people just because you disagree with them, but you can put them on the spot. So ask questions that are difficult, lay out your beliefs and challenge them with your arguments and your ability to debate and discuss, rather than try to cancel them or cancel yourselves by not turning up because there's someone you disagree with who happens to be going to an event you'd really like to be part of. I mean, we have to grow in that sense. We all have to grow up as a movement, or we're not going to achieve independence. You know, let's face it, if we can't all get along on the playground, then we're not going to take over the school. It is as simple as that.
So people are also saying there should be someone from the Green Party there, as they are also.
So there will be. So there's going to be six of these. Basically, we're going to run them every 2 months. There will always be a seat for Plaid and Labour.
Sorry, Mr. There, you feel... Plaid who?
There will always be a seat for Plaid Cymru Party and Labour, unless they refuse to show on the question times.
Because they're the three... Tories there, Gwern, for some reason.
Sorry?
What's the second party? Sorry, you faded out during the second party. Plaid, Labour and who?
The Tory Party.
Right,
can you not hear that? Does it not
literally faded out during...
I'm not surprised.
Zoom has got an agenda as well, I don't know.
they're fading very fast. I think support for the Tories in Wales is about half the support for independence in Wales at the moment. So, you know, that should put them in their place. But then for the other seats on the panels, as we go around, we'll be inviting the Green Party, the Lib Dems, if they show out, other local parties, you know, if there are local representatives there, we'll invite them. There'll always be someone from Yes Cymru on the panel as well. We'll try and get a neutral chair for every panel, like Will Hayward. And then we will do these across the length and breadth of Wales. And the way we do it is we're going to invite questions. So anybody listening now who wants to submit a question, please do so. Obviously, we won't be able to accept each question, but we'll take four or five of the best questions. And then on the day, we'll also throw one or two questions open, the risky questions, to the floor where you don't know what's going to be said.
At the end of the panel.
So there'll be one or two questions that people can just throw in right at the end.
So the event in Aberystwyth is the first of a series of eight. So I think the next one's in Cardiff. Did I see it again, social media? Or is it going
there
to
might
class?
Be. I know we've got one in Cardiff, September or October, which probably is the next one, actually, because of the summer recess, isn't it? No one does anything in August.
Well, people, we've covered a lot there. I think we've spoken quite a bit of time. It's really chunky. I've got to say, a lot of good stuff going on. I am generally excited about it. I think it's just the kind of thing we need. I think it's more of a summer school than a conference, really. But we want people to come in, jump in, get on board, share ideas, share the experiences, get to know more. And I think we will gain a lot from it. Tickets are available. We're in Aberystwyth trying to get the people here just to help with stewarding, which I don't think will be a problem. But tickets are available. So it's a paid event. Do you want to explain that, Gwaran, as well?
Yeah, I think it has to be a paid event, you know, just on the basis that people don't value things unless they pay for them. And also, if they haven't paid, people might just book a ticket and then not turn up because the weather's too good. and we do have limited space. I think ticket sales are up to around 100 or so already, and we could probably squeeze in 300, 350, which would be great, but it would be very full then.
One thing I will
say to listeners is the tickets are quite expensive. So if you do feel the tickets are challenging, I mean, we are very conscious that we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis and people's belts are being tightened. If anybody feels that they can't afford the ticket at the full price, if they email post@yes.cymru or thomas@yes.cymru, we'll make sure that they get the concession rate, or you can just go online and get the concession rate, which is 50% off.
I think that's an important message ticket. because we want people there. It does cost money. You've got to hire the room and everything like that, but I mean, getting people there, and if you do feel it's difficult financially, just please jump in and, you know, get the concession.
You know, most importantly, I want to say that I don't want anybody to not come because of the cost. So I would, if they want to come and they can't, or they think they're not going to come just because of the cost, they can get in touch with me and I'll make sure that they come, even if I have to pay for them myself.
Good. Well, Dion,
edit that bit out, or I'll be paying for everything.
No, it's too late now. It's on. I'm not much editing anything, Gwaran, sorry. So Gwaran Grinville, Chief Exec of Yes Cymru, Carrie Harper, I don't know, well, Plaid Cymru Council in Wrexham, I think you are basically Miss Plaid Cymru for Clwyd. Bring back the old Clwyd, that's what I say. So the greater Wrexham, I didn't say that.
I like to describe Carrie Harper as a rising star of Plaid Cymru.
I think she's already risen. So,
she's got further to go, still rising star.
But I look forward to hearing your speech, Carrie. Generally, I think your speech was very good in Wrexham. I think what you bring to the movement is an important perspective as well, under breath of fresh air. I look forward to hearing the question time panel. And actually, all the sessions look very, very, very good. So I can't wait. Of course, bydd cyfeithiad y pryd I lot o sesiynau hefyd. Felly, mae'n bwysig. So there will be some changes.
We are going to try and juggle the timetable as much as we can so that people can go to as many things as possible.
Yeah.
But we have to accept that with so many things on, no one will be able to go to absolutely everything.
And if you're looking for a cheapish place to stay in Aberystwyth, then try the Bunkhouse, which is part of the university, and it's literally about 100 metres from where the event is held. So in, I don't know if it's spelled it, B-Y-N CWS bunkhouse in Welsh, I think it's, or bunkhouse in English, both will come
and,
up.
And there's we've negotiated a special tariff, which is much cheaper. I think there's a link that's now working because it wasn't on the website. But again, you can get the link from thomas@yes.com or post@yes.com. And that link gives you Friday and Saturday night breakfast on Saturday and Sunday morning in Tamed Da, and is incredibly reasonable.
Good. And all the stuff is obviously on Yes Cymru website, and follow social media for more information. Gwern and Carrie, again, thanks for making the time to speak to Radio Yes Cymru podcast. Please follow the podcast on Twitter and Facebook. Share it with your friends. We're on Yes Cymru's YouTube channel, which if you're watching this, but also on all your usual podcast apps. Until the next time, I look forward to seeing you in about a week or so time, Carrie in Aberystwyth. And Gwern, I'm sure we'll speak before then, where you're chasing me to get different things done for the conference.
Fi'n gweld ti dimarts nesaf.
Oit, oce, iawn. Okay. Right, pob hwyl, ta-ra.
Hwyl, ta-ra.
Yes, Cymru Radio.